Hello there, ladies and gentlemen. The MSS crew is back, and thanking you for joining us here in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. Today's date is Saturday, July 18th, 2015, and this is your MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you yet another exciting and exhilarating internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Well, folks, as I promised last week, we are back and on the attack for tonight's program because we've put together an awesome Michael's Saturday Night Surprise for your listening enjoyment. Yep, we're just shooting them out there for anyone who wants to come out and grab them. So, without any further delays, allow me to introduce the presenter for tonight's program. She just so happens to be an MSS icon. Yep, you might have guessed it, JJ Jackson. Yep, Joy is back behind the microphone in her home studio, and she has put together an awesome show for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. All you need to do is stick around and enjoy it. So, if everyone could just please sit back, grab your favorite drinks and snacks, and enjoy the program. Joy, the microphone is yours.
Welcome to the MSS edition of Treasures Old and New from ART. First up is an ART retelling of an episode of The Green Llama from 1949. Mani Padme Om. Mani Padme Om.
Mani Padme Hum. The Green Llama strikes for justice.
Time now for another exciting adventure taken directly from the files of Jethro Dumont. Jethro Dumont, the wealthy young American who, after 10 years in Tibet, returned as the Green Llama to carry on a single-handed fight against injustice and crime.
I am Tulku. When Jethro Dumont returned to America from my country, Tibet, it was with the single thought of giving help wherever it was needed, and of using his wisdom and great powers of concentration to fight all things which are evil. He became known as the Green Llama, first because he is a llama, having mastered the ancient and sacred mystic arts of my homeland, and secondly because green is one of the 6 sacred colors and is the symbol of justice. The story of the Green Llama and the Girl with No Name began late one afternoon in our apartment on Park Avenue in New York City. The afternoon mail delivery had just arrived, and I took it into the Green Llama.
Anything interesting in the mail, Tulku?
I do not think so, O Llama. There are many invitations to parties, and there are letters asking you to say that you use certain products. Why is it, Exalted One, that Americans like to bathe with the same soap used by some great one?
The important thing is that they do bathe. What is that letter?
Oh, I have not yet opened it, O Llama. It is in the handwriting of a very young person.
Let me see it. Dear Green Llama, I have heard that you will help anyone who needs help, and this is why I'm writing you. Tulku, this is interesting. Listen. My uncle is an engineer on one of the subway trains, and I think he had something to do with the number of robberies of subway change booths. I think they're planning something bigger now, and I need help, because my uncle is really a good man. Please, Mr. Green Llama, meet me at 5 o'clock tonight in the 28th Street subway station. P.S. I haven't signed my name because I don't know if you will help me or tell the police.
And there is no name, O Llama?
No, Tulku. I guess she's not too sure the Green Llama means to give help. It's almost 5 o'clock now.
It might be a trap, Exalted One.
It is better to risk traps, Tulku, than to run the chance of disappointing someone who needs help. So let's go meet the girl with no name.
There are so many people waiting for trains, my llama, that trying to find the young lady will be like looking for needle in haystack.
Yet it is written, Tulku, that the easiest way to find such a needle is to sit down on the haystack. So we'll wait, and perhaps she'll find us.
We might ask the man in the change booth if he's noticed a young girl waiting around.
All right, but I doubt if he notices anything except his change. Pardon me.
Okay, where's your dough? You want change? You gotta give me money.
No, we don't want change. We were just wondering if you'd noticed a young girl waiting around here. We were supposed to meet her, and we're a few minutes late.
A young girl? Look, Mac, 1,000 young girls pass through here every day. Who can remember one of them? My wife wouldn't like it if I could.
Well, thank you.
You don't want any change?
Not unless you've got a good bargain.
Who's got a bargain? Believe me, this old job is no bargain. You know what happened to me?
I'm afraid not.
So I'll tell you. I worked for the subway for 20 years. All day long, I'm giving people 2 nickels for a dime. 500 people a day, 365 days a year for 20 years. I push out 7,300,000 nickels and take in 3,650,000 dimes. And just as I get to be the best in the business, they change the system on me.
What is this person talking about, Olama?
I'll tell you, Mac. I get so I can push out 2 nickels and take in a dime better than anybody else in the world. So they change the fare. So now I gotta push out a dime and take in 2 nickels. It's anarchy. That's what
Cuckoo! Someone's in danger.
Hey, you gotta put a dime in the turnstile.
Be careful, my llama. Are you all right, my llama? I thought the train would hit you.
Yes, I'm all right, and so is this young lady. But someone tried to push her in front of that train.
I felt someone's hand pushing me. It was so terrible.
It's all right now.
You saw who did this, Exalted One?
No, Tulku. There was too much of a crowd around her. I got a glimpse of a hand against her back, but that was all. But I couldn't tell whether it was the hand of a man or woman. Come, we'll get her out of the crowd.
You can't get away with it. The two of you coming in without putting dimes in the turnstiles? You ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
I'm sorry, but someone was trying to kill this young lady, and there was no time to pay the fare. Tulku, give him the money.
I don't like no deadbeats. Hey, what did you say?
Someone tried to push this young lady in front of the train.
But that's against the law. Maybe she tried to jump.
I did not. I'm all right now. Perhaps I can be of some help. I saw the whole thing.
You mean you saw her try to jump in front of the train?
No, I'm afraid someone did try to push her.
You saw it?
Yes, it was quite terrible.
Could you identify the person who pushed her?
I think so. He was a tall, dark man with a small scar on his cheek. I'm afraid I lost sight of him in the crowd.
Good. What's your name?
Leslie Leeds. You're Jethro Dumont, the Green Llama, aren't you?
Yes.
The Green Llama? Yeah, sure. I remember seeing your picture in a crossword puzzle I was doing last night. But I thought that...
Why don't you go back to your dimes, little man? Mr. Dumont, I live in the Meston Arms Apartments on Lexington Avenue. I have an appointment with a beauty parlor at 27th and Lexington, but I'll be home later. Why don't you come up and get my testimony? Maybe I'll remember more.
Perhaps I shall.
You are really the Green Llama, aren't you? I didn't think you would come.
You're the girl who sent me the letter today?
Yes. I didn't know where to turn, and I had to have help. You will help me, won't you?
Of course I will.
My llama, if this young lady is one who wrote letter... That must be the reason someone tried to push her in front of train.
I imagine so.
I don't know. I didn't tell anyone that I was writing to you.
Well, suppose you tell us why you wrote the letter.
You won't turn my uncle over to the police?
Not unless it's necessary.
Well, I'm Susan Carter. My uncle is an engineer on one of the collection trains here.
A collection train? What is that, my llama?
A train that collects the money deposited in the turnstiles at all the stations, Tulku. It usually carries only an engineer and a couple of guards. Go on, Susan.
In the past few months, there have been several robberies of chain booths right along here, always just before the collection train comes along.
That being the time when they'd have the most money on hand.
Yes, and ever since the robbery started, my uncle has been very nervous, and he's had more money than usual.
I take it that you live in close proximity to your uncle?
Yes, he raised me after my mother and father died, and he's really a wonderful man. It's just that he must have gotten into some bad company.
Maybe. What else, Susan?
Well, I'm sure they're planning something again, something bigger this time, and I'm afraid it will happen very soon. Maybe tonight.
What do you think will happen?
I don't know. Maybe they'll even try to steal the collection train. It has a lot of money on it after it has made a run.
And what did you want me to do, Susan?
Uncle George is on his last run for today, and his relief will meet him at the 23rd Street station in just a few minutes. I thought you might come along and talk to him.
Yes, I think I'd like to talk to him. especially since someone tried to kill you to keep you from seeing me. This is one time we must solve a murder before it happens.
You know, my Lama, I never cease to be amazed by your Americans. Living in one of the largest countries in the world, they still have to travel underground as well as on it.
Hasn't Mr. Tulku seen a subway before?
Oh, yes. When we first arrived in America, he spent a week just riding the subway. Before that, the fastest thing he'd ridden had been a Tibetan donkey.
It is truly written that the man who travels at the greatest speed still has not added 1 minute to his life.
I suspect that most of us would be better off if we felt the same way, Tulku. Shouldn't your uncle's train be along soon, Susan?
Yes, any minute. I think that must be it now.
Your uncle's taking his time about it, Miss Susan. And he's 12 minutes late already. It's 30 years that I know George Carter now, but I never knew him to act so strange.
Why do you think he is acting strangely, Mr. Flaherty?
I've not been known, mister. What the? Are my ears deceiving me?
Mr. Dumont! What? What happened to the train?
I don't know, Susan.
Could the engineer merely have stopped suddenly? One cannot see far up the track.
They never made a subway train that could stop that quick, mister. And look, you know, the traffic light has changed back to green, which means the train is no longer on the tracks. And I've never known a subway train that could leave the tracks and fly.
Mr. Dumont, I'm frightened.
Tulku, stay here with Susan and Mr. Flaherty. I'm going to phone with Sergeant Whalen. It's time to call the police when a subway train vanishes into thin air.
In just a moment, we will return to the second act of The Green Llama. But first, where were you late in April 1943? Overseas? In training camp? In a war plant? At home? It's hard to recall at once, perhaps, but at least millions of you in this country spent a part of the last Saturday evening in April listening to the hit parade on CBS, a custom you'd kept for many years. What tunes were they playing? Can you remember? You'll hear them played again on CBS tonight when your Hit Parade on Parade brings you the tunes from the Hit Parade of April 24th, 1943, dressed up in bright new 1949 arrangements. Monica Lewis and John Lawrence will be on hand to sing some of them for you. Be sure to hear tonight's Your Hit Parade on Parade and hear it every Sunday night this summer while Jack Benny is on vacation. It comes to you over all these CBS stations. Now, with our stars Dave Leese and Greg Porter, we return to the second act of The Green Llama and tonight's story, The Girl with No Name.
The Green Llama and I learned long ago that there are many strange things in the world. But even we were surprised when a subway train vanished almost before our eyes. 1 minute it had left the East Side 28th Street station and was approaching the next stop at 23rd Street, where we waited, and the next minute it was gone. Sergeant Whalen arrived in answer to the Green Llama's phone call, and after questioning Mike Flaherty, the relief engineer, we walked up Lexington Avenue to the 28th Street station, where the train had last stopped.
I just don't get this, Mr. Dumont. You say the train was coming right toward you when it vanished.
It is written that great events can be understood only by great minds. Old Tibetan proverb, Sergeant.
Yeah. Well, there's an old American proverb that says, I'm going to whittle you down so you'll fit through the hole on a lifesaver if you open your trap.
Stop it, both of you. This is no time for the two of you to be bickering.
Yeah? You're right, Mr. Dumont. Look, how come you didn't see what happened to that train since it was coming right at you?
We couldn't actually see the train, Sergeant. We could see the lights, and we could hear it quite plainly. Then suddenly it was gone.
You think there's some connection between the train and somebody trying to kill Miss Carter?
I definitely do, but I'm not quite sure yet what the connection is. The first thing we have to do is find out what happened to the subway train.
No, we'd better. Nobody's going to believe the report I'm going to have to write on this case.
Sergeant, this has been pretty trying on Miss Carter. First the attempt on her life, and then her uncle disappearing. I don't think she can tell you much, so why not let her go home?
Okay. If you say so, Mr. Dumont.
Fine. Tulku.
Yes, Olama.
Take Susan home. Stop and get the car and drive her.
But I don't want to go home, Mr. Dumont. I want to find my uncle.
We'll find your uncle, Susan. You go home and rest.
All right, Mr. Dumont. But you'll let me know if anything happens?
I will, Susan. Run along now. Tulku, Yasana Athi Upamagvasi.
Atmanasu Kam, Exalted.
What were you telling him?
Merely to watch over the girl. There might be another attempt on her life, but I didn't want to frighten her, so I used the language of Tibet. Sergeant, here's the witness to the attempt on Miss Carter.
Hello, Mr. Dumont.
Hello, Miss Leeds. So this is your beauty parlor. This is Sergeant Whalen of the New York Police.
Oh, he's very handsome for a policeman.
Look, Miss Leeds, I'll want to get a statement from you on that attempted murder you witnessed.
Well, why don't you come up and see me sometime? Mr. Dumont knows where I live.
Miss Leeds, were you still down at the subway station when the collection train pulled in?
No, I left right after I spoke to you, Mr. Dumont. I've been shopping. Did I miss something?
Not very much. It's just that a subway train disappeared.
Isn't that being rather careless, Sergeant?
I'm afraid that it isn't much of a joke, Miss Leeds. Sergeant, here's the station. We'll see you later, Miss Leeds.
I'll look forward to it, Mr. Dumont.
Smart dames. You know, after being a cop for 10 years, I could get along for the rest of my life without hearing another wisecrack.
Miss Leeds is like a lot of people today, Sergeant. She has to try to be witty about everything to show that she's sophisticated. Well, here's the 28th Street change booth.
Yeah. You, what's your name?
Look, Mac, the regulations say I've got to make change for anybody, but I don't have to make conversation.
You do with me. I've got a piece of tin that says so.
A cop? What's the beef?
Did the collection train stop here a while ago?
Yeah, it always does.
Notice anything funny about it?
What's funny about a collection train? It don't do anything but collect money.
What did you say your name was?
I didn't say, but it's Harry Betts.
Well, Harry, what the sergeant and I want to know is, was everything about the collection train the same as usual? Same people on it? The same routine gone through?
Sure. George Carter was running and our guard picked up the dough while the other stayed in the train, like he always does.
When the train pulled out, was it going fast?
I guess not.
Don't you know?
Look, Mac, I see trains all day. Who knows if they go fast or slow? We ain't got the super chief down here.
Oh, there you are, Betts. What's all this nonsense about a train of ours?
I guess it ain't nonsense, Mr. Matthews. This guy is a cop, and the other one is the Green Llama.
The Green Llama? I've read about you. What have you got to do with one of our trains?
Nothing. Yet, but I hope to change that soon.
Who are you, mister?
Norman J. Matthews.
Mr. Matthews is the vice president in charge of change. You know, Mr. Matthews, I'm still having trouble with those dimes.
Just a minute, Harry. Mr. Matthews, how did you know that something had happened to one of your trains?
Why, Michael Flaherty called me.
That's the guy we already talked to, huh? What'd he tell you?
Well, that the collection train had vanished. Obviously, he must have been drinking.
I'm afraid not, Mr. Matthews. The train has vanished.
But that's impossible.
You should have told the train that.
Mr. Matthews, how much would the collection train have been carrying in money?
Well, I only had 3 more stops after this, so literally thousands of dollars. Well, this is terrible. Sergeant, why are you just standing there? I demand that you do something.
Well, Sergeant, I think I'll run along so you can do something for Mr. Matthews.
Where are you going, Mr. Dumont?
I'm going home to meditate on murderers who don't quite vanish and trains which do. Good night, Sergeant. Gakati Pakshino Piami Yavakka Vidashyanti Parishyanti Nasamsaya.
Exalted One, it is already morning and you have not slept throughout the night.
I have spent the night in thought, Tulku, and there are times when thought is more valuable than sleep.
It is truly written that through concentration man may know all answers.
While I'm taking a shower, Tulku, you call Sergeant Whalen. Tell him to meet us at the 23rd Street subway station and ask him to arrange with the train dispatcher to hold up the trains for 30 minutes while we're down there. Tell him if he'll do that, I'll find the subway train for him. Be careful of that third rail, Tulku. There are a lot of volts in it.
Yeah, Booty. You step on that and you'll get the biggest hot foot that ever was. Mr. Dumont, I don't know where you expect to find that train up here. We combed every inch of that tunnel yesterday. The only way that the train could go was right through solid rock.
Let's see now. This must be about the spot where the train was when it vanished. Yes, this is interesting. Sergeant, did you notice this switching yesterday?
Sure, and we followed it, right into solid stone about 20 feet from here. I asked that Matthews guy about it, and he said this was put in here because they had once had plans for running a subway line across here and under the East River. But they never got around to building the tunnel, I guess.
Suppose you shine your flashlight down here, Sergeant. Look at the tracks. If you notice closely, you'll see the tracks run right on in under the rock.
Well, I'll be a lieutenant's uncle.
It is written that each man sees only what he expects to see.
Quiet, Booty. Mr. Dumont, what does this mean?
For one thing, Sergeant, I think it means that your solid rock here is nothing but beaver board, which is dirty and looks the same color as the rock. Let's see.
Hey, it's a tunnel.
As I thought we'd find. I was looking at some old city blueprints last night, Sergeant, and discovered that the tunnel here was dug when the subway was first built in 1913. It runs right down to the edge of the river and stops there.
Mr. Dumont, I looked at a blueprint of this section too last night, but I didn't see no tunnel marked there.
For some reason, it was left out of later maps and blueprints, but at least one other man knew about it. So the switch was thrown and the train rolled in here, and so vanished as soon as the beaver board was replaced.
But why did they need to hide the train, Olama?
The collection train was carrying thousands of dollars, all of it in dollar bills and silver. The thieves needed time to get the money away.
There's a train ahead.
Sergeant, put your light out.
Oh, hey, you know, Mr. Dumont, this ain't so good. The tunnel's pretty narrow, and that guy can just sit back and keep the tunnel filled with lead.
But it is written that the calm man aims better than the man who is frightened. I'm going in after him, Sergeant.
Be careful, my llama.
Hey, wait.
Om Vajra Sattva.
Are you all right, Exalted One?
I'm all right, Tulku, but our man got away.
How'd he get away, Mr. Dumont? I thought you said this was a dead-end tunnel.
It is, but there is apparently an escape hatch to the street right down here. In the meantime, we'd better see about the men that were on this train.
If it weren't for that silly business of refusing to carry a gun, you could have got him, Mr. Dumont.
Yes, but then I would have been no better than the man we're after, Sergeant.
Here are the two guards, my llama. Both of them tied up and also unconscious.
This must be the engineer over here. He's not tied up, but he's got a nasty cut on the head.
Oh.
He's coming too, huh? That's good.
What's going on?
It's all right. This is Sergeant Whalen of the police, and I am the Green Llama.
Green Llama? Did you get them?
No, but we will. Can you tell us what happened?
First, you're Carter the engineer, aren't you?
Yes, I'm George Carter. All I remember is that the train suddenly switched off the track and ran through a hole in the side of the tunnel. Then there was a whole gang of them with guns. Oh.
Sergeant, Carter is in a bad way. He must be very weak since the cut on his head is still bleeding. Why don't you take care of the guards while Tulku and I take Mr. Carter home? You can get his full statement later, but right now we need to concentrate on saving his life. Well, Mr. Carter, now that you're home and have had a chance to rest a little, I'd like to talk to you.
Uncle George! Oh, Mr. Dumont, did you find him? Uncle George, are you all right?
Yes, Susan. Just a little weak, that's all.
Your uncle will be all right, Susan. In the meantime, I'd like to talk to him for just a minute alone. Then you can put him to bed and nurse him.
But...
I think you'd better do as Mr. Dumont asks, Susan. Go to your room for a few minutes.
All right, Uncle George.
Why didn't your friend come up with us, Mr. Dumont?
Tulku, stay down in the car, Mr. Carter, to cover the front entrance of your apartment. We don't want someone trying to kill you.
But why should anyone try to kill me?
Mr. Carter, men who know too much are always dangerous.
I don't know what you mean.
I think you do. Mr. Carter, if you had not been involved in this thing, you would have been able to have stopped your train as soon as it turned off on the spur track. You weren't going fast.
That doesn't prove anything.
Also, Mr. Carter, that cut on your head is a fresh one, made only a few minutes before we entered the tunnel today. and it was done to help give you an alibi.
Well, what kind of man are you to know these things?
I also know your confederate, and it's only a matter of time until this is all over, Mr. Carter. I don't know how you got into this thing, but you owe it to Susan to...
Oh.
That must be your confederate now, Carter. Open the door.
I can't.
You must. If you're innocently involved, I'll help you, for Susan's sake. Open the door, and I'll do the rest.
All right. I hope you mean what you say, Green Llama. You? What? Oh, Green Llama, you said...
Carter. Gone.
I heard... Uncle George!
Susan.
Oh.
Susan, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid your uncle is dead.
Oh.
Susan, you must have courage. Your uncle did. He was trying to help me when he was killed, and his killer must not escape. It's possible the Tulku managed to stop him. Call Sergeant Wayland and tell him to come here to the apartment.
Mr. Dumont? Luckily, I had just gotten back to the headquarters when the call came. What happened?
Someone killed Carter upstairs in his apartment, and just as he was about to give us some help. The murderer escaped, and I think he held a gun on Tulku and took him along.
Booty kidnapped? See, that's too bad. Want me to put out a general alarm for him? Which one of your cars was it?
The Yellow Nash, Sergeant, but I expect to find him before then, even if I have to take someone apart. I've just been waiting for you. You go on up to the apartment, and I'll see you later.
Good luck, Mr. Dumont.
Hello, Mr. Dumont. I was just coming to look for you.
Hello, Miss Leeds. Why were you looking for me?
I was driving by here not long ago, and I saw that friend of yours. You know, the Chinese.
He's Tibetan, but go on.
He was just driving off, and with him was the man who tried to push that young girl in front of the train yesterday. You know, the man with the scar. It looked to me as if you were making your friend go with him, so I followed them.
Good girl. Where did they go?
They parked on Lexington near 42nd Street and then went down in Grand Central. I followed part way, and I think I can take you where they are.
It is written that he who hesitates has offended opportunity. Let's go, Miss Leeds.
This is an abandoned part of the old subway under Grand Central Station, Mr. Dumont. It runs just below the New York Central Railway tracks. I believe the subway company still uses it to park some of the trains when they're not rushed, but that's all.
And this is where you saw the man take Tulku?
Yes. I was afraid to follow any farther.
All right, baby. You don't have to stall anymore. I've got him covered.
Hello, Harry. I gather you got so tired of changing nickels into dimes you decided to go into business for yourself. So you pulled a number of small robberies and then decided on the biggest haul of all, the collection train itself.
Yeah, and it's paid off in spite of you snooping around. I guess the great Green Llama ain't so great after all. How come you don't act surprised to see me?
I'm not, Harry. I knew you were in this ever since the train disappeared.
Yeah? How?
You made one slip when Sergeant Wayland and I were talking to you. You knew something happened to the train, yet no one had mentioned it. That was careless of you, Harry.
Oh, yeah? Well, it ain't gonna make any difference now. Don't try any of your tricks, because I got you covered.
And so have I, Mr. Dumont. I don't doubt the Green Llama is clever, but you can't get both of us.
Oh, but I did, Miss Leeds. I knew about you even before Harry made his slip.
You are clever, Mr. Dumont. It's too bad we're on different sides. You and I would have made a great team.
Hey, cut out that kind of talk.
Why did you suspect me, Mr. Dumont?
Your description of the man who tried to push Miss Carter in front of the train, Miss Leeds. I think you pushed her yourself, then when you saw it could be made to look like an accident, you became a witness. But you should have studied the facts about witnesses.
Meaning what?
Meaning that nearly all lying witnesses describe their mythical man as tall and dark with a scar on his face.
Very interesting. But unimportant now, Mr. Dumont.
I suppose it seems that way. Harry. Look at me, Harry. Om, mani padme hum. The Green Llama strikes for justice.
No! Stay away from me, Green Llama. You'll never take me. You'll never... Ah!
Ah! Harry!
And now, I'll take your gun, young lady.
Harry! He fell... Right on the third rail.
Yes, it's too bad, Miss Leeds, but the electric chair would have done the same thing to him.
We could have gotten away.
It is written that man can never escape from the evil he does. Nor can woman, Miss Leeds. It was you who killed George Carter.
How did you know that?
I guessed it from the fact that George Carter was surprised when he opened the door. He was expecting Harry, and so he wouldn't have been surprised if it had been Harry. But an examination of your gun will prove it, I think.
Oh, you already got everything under control, Mr. Dumont.
Yes, Sergeant, but how come you're here?
I made him come, Mr. Dumont. I was looking out the window when I saw you get in this woman's car. I've heard enough Philip Marlowe shows to know the type. I knew she just wasn't any good, so I made Sergeant Whalen follow you.
We lost you when you came underground, and it took a little time to find where you'd gone. What's that?
I hope it's Tulku. Sounds as if it's coming from this storage place over here. Let's look. It is Tulku, bound and gagged, but safe. Just a minute, my friend.
Oh, do me a favor, Mr. Dumont. Leave him that way for just a few minutes. It's the first time I've seen him when he couldn't make up one of his Tibetan gags.
My humble Tibetan bones are sore, but thanks to you, O Lama, I did not suffer more than that.
I wouldn't know what to do without you, Tulku, so it was either rescue you or be lost. Hand me tonight's paper, will you, Tulku?
Exalted One, what is to be the fate of little Miss Carter now that her uncle is dead?
I've already arranged to make her my ward, Tulku, and tomorrow we will see about enrolling her in a good school. Listen to this, Tulku. Hong Kong, China. It was rumored in the International Quarter of Hong Kong tonight that a beautiful Eurasian woman was offering a pair of chopsticks for sale for $1 million. This is a sale that interests me, Tulku. I think we'll file this clipping under the heading of The $1 Million Chopsticks. Mani Padme Hum. The Green Lama strikes for justice.
You've been listening to a lost old-time radio show, The Green Lama, presented by American Radio Theater. It was called The Girl with No Name. In our cast, you heard Dave Leese as Jethro Dumont, Greg Porter as Tulku, Fred Hopkins as Harry Betts, Karen Leese as Susan Carter, Jennifer Newton as Leslie Leeds, Pat McNally as Sergeant Whalen, Dan Schindler as Norman J. Matthews, and Kim Turner as George Carter. This episode was originally broadcast on June 19, 1949, and Paul Frees starred as Jethro Dumont with Ben Wright as Tulku. Music was by Kevin McLeod at www.incompetech.com, sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Welt. Directed and produced by Joy Jackson. Gong was played by Linda Rasmussen. I'm Ken Leese, your announcer, who you also heard as Mike Flaherty. This is ART, the American Radio Theater.
Next up is a script from Kathy and Elliot Lewis's series On Stage. Here's American Radio Theater in The Lovely Dead Letter.
American Radio Theater is proud to present a lost show from the days of old-time radio. Here's the episode, Lovely Dead Letter, written by Anthony Ellis.
Take a guy with a job. He likes it, or he doesn't like it, or maybe he just does it because it's a job. I don't know about you, but take me. I work in the dead letter department, U.S. Post Office. I like it. It's quiet, and I'm a quiet guy. There's a couple of us in there, and we do the same thing every day. The other feller's Herbert Rood. To him, it's a job. Just the job.
Same thing. Open a letter. Read it. No return address. No dough. No nothing. Burn it. You'd think some of these dopes would remember to put a return address on. You know, boy, I think I'm going to get me a transfer to a delivery route again. This dulls me good. Hey, Manfred?
Oh, yeah?
I've been meaning to ask, Manfred, how come you got a name like Manfred?
I don't know. My mother was scared by a symphony or something. Give me that next stack, will you? So like I say, Herbert Rood, to him, she's just a job. And me, I like it. Why? Because I got imagination, that's why. Letters ending up in my department, they got a message, a story. Someday I'm going to write a book. I could write a book with what's in those letters. Of course, Herbert can't figure it out.
What's the matter with you, Manfred? Every day you bring your lunch, you sit in here working. You trying to make overtime or something? You don't make no overtime. Come on out. We can get a fast game of snooker.
What am I going to tell him? Every guy's got his ways. Mine's taking my lunch to the office and reading letters in between work. It's not the same thing, then, reading. I kind of see things when it first happened. But like the other day, I was biting into a chicken salad sandwich, and I opened a letter, started in to read it. Dear Leonard, when I think of what you've done,
all I can say is, you're a dirty rat. How come you think a girl like me's going to spend the fruits of her days sitting around waiting for a bum like you? Believe me, Leonard, I got lots of fellows think the sun never sets on yours truly, and that's for sure. I'm giving you one more chance to give me some kind of story, which is going to be another lie anyway. So meet me at the corner, 4th and Hamilton, on Tuesday at 6. I'll be off from work then. Yours truly, Alma.
Then I kind of got sleepy reading it, and the next thing I knew, I was on the corner of 4th and Hamilton. It was 6 o'clock, and she was waiting. Don't ask me how. I'm just telling you what happened.
Hi.
Oh, it's you.
Who else? You told me to be here at 6.
You're going to start right in being nasty.
Who's nasty? I'm here, that's all.
Don't do me any favors.
For fish's sake.
I'm not in the habit of standing on corners being insulted by a man.
Oh, honey.
Why didn't you answer my last letter, that's all? Why?
I was out of town. I never got it till I got back. That was yesterday. I got your other letter at the same time. That's how come I'm here.
That's a laugh. Out of town. Blonde or redhead?
I'm telling you, I was out of town. It was a job.
You think I'm going to believe that?
Sure, it's true.
Just another lie, like the last time.
Honey, I love you. I wouldn't lie.
I wouldn't give you the satisfaction of lying to me, Mr. Podmore.
Will you give me a chance to explain? You wanted me to meet you here to explain. Now give me a chance to explain!
I'm waiting. Explain.
There's a guy in Middlebury. He's got a job up there for me. Wanted me to take a look over the prospects, so I did.
And?
Maybe I'll take the job.
You gonna move away?
It looks like a good thing. I'm considering it.
Oh.
That matter to you?
Why should it matter? I got plenty of dates. You're not the only fish in the sea.
I thought maybe it mattered. Alma?
Yeah?
You want to have some dinner with me? Maybe we could go to a show and then after.
Oh, sure. After. You think maybe I'm forgetting that last time? No thank you, Mr. Clammy Hands. I'm not that kind of a girl. You want to do some necking? You take out one of your other girls. I'm sure they'd enjoy it.
You never let a guy finish.
Not you, I don't.
Okay. If that's the way you want it.
That's just the way.
Okay, that's the way. So you won't mind me telling you now what I wanted to say after?
I don't care what you say. It doesn't matter a pea in a pod to me.
Okay, it doesn't matter, so I'll tell you anyhow. I got something here. Bought it yesterday.
Leonard, it's a ring.
Yeah, it's a ring. That's what I wanted to give you after the show. Kind of saving it for a surprise.
Oh, Leonard, it's beautiful.
You like it?
Leonard, Oh, Leonard.
Hey, it's okay. Hey, honey.
You've been so awful all the time you were...
Listen, I love you.
If you hadn't been here tonight, I'd have died, and I wouldn't have never seen you again. I thought you were just kidding me along.
Not me. Trouble is, you didn't figure out I wasn't kidding about you. You want to put the ring on?
You put it on for me.
Sure.
Leonard, you shouldn't have. It must have cost an awful lot.
Only the best for my girl. Now, what do you say we have something to eat? We got a lot of plans to make with that new job. We could get married pretty quick.
Boy, you sure rush a girl.
Why not?
Oh, Leonard.
It's okay. And no more working that store for you, honey. My wife's going to be a stay-at-home.
When I think if you hadn't showed up tonight, I was never going to see you again. Not even if you dropped dead on my doorstep. I could just die when I think that. Oh, Leonard.
That's the way it happened. At least to me, that's the way. Of course, he never did get the letter, because she forgot to put his address on, and she didn't have a return. I don't know, maybe Leonard went looking for her. Maybe not. You kind of wonder, though. There's all kinds of letters get burned. You get so you wonder about all the sadness around. And then maybe they're not sad. Because how do you know how things turn out anyway? Like the one I read yesterday. It was dated September 19th, 1943. What happened was it got lost in an old apartment building when it was delivered and fell behind a radiator in the lobby. So when they tore the radiator out, they found the letter. But we got it in the dead letter office. It started like this.
Dear Ricky, here's a letter which was sent to you care of me because this was the last address you gave when hiding out from the cops. It gives me great pleasure to surprise you with what is clipped on this note. Because you are a dirty, no-good fink. Couldn't happen to a bigger chiseler. When you read it, I hope you drop dead. Yours truly, Alfie the Grunt.
You have been... They're nuts. They can't do this to me.
You tell them, babe.
Swifty!
Honey, baby love... Now, I seen this ad for a fur coat and a...
Swifty, you hear me calling you?
Yeah, boss. Right here, boss.
Look at this.
Baby lamb, it's only a couple of G's. Gorgeous thing. Trimmed with...
You shut your trap. I got enough trouble.
Honey, babe.
I don't get it. What's the president want to write you for?
I've been drafted.
You're kidding.
You can read? I've been drafted.
Oh, baby, they can't do that to you.
You got nothing to worry about, boss. They'll make you 4F. All you got to do is tell them about your hernia.
It says I got to report tomorrow at 8 a.m. The biggest job we've ever pulled set for tomorrow. And I got to report for a physical at 8 a.m.
What do you care, honey lamb? Send the mouthpiece over to fix it for you.
What kind of a crazy dame are you anyway? It's a federal rep. This army stuff is serious.
Gee, I bet you'd look cute in a uniform. Them big shoulders, boy. I could go for you all over again.
Jeez, that's all you think about. Swifty, you gotta get the boys together right away.
Sure, Ricky, sure.
You tell them we got to change the time for the job.
You can't do that, boss. We won't get another chance if you do that. It took enough trouble figuring out the schedule. You put it off, and everything will go wrong.
Well, so what am I supposed to do? Not show up for my physical? You want I should be called a draft dodger?
Trouble with you, Swifty. You ain't got no patriotism.
Didn't I tell you to make me a drink?
No.
Are you calling me a liar?
Honey lamb, I ain't calling you a liar. You never told me to make you a drink. Now, did he, Swifty?
I told you to make a drink a minute ago.
I got ears. You never did.
All right. I'm telling you again. Go make me a drink.
Okay, okay. Look who's giving big orders all of a sudden. General MacArthur.
And don't get so smart.
The boys ain't gonna like it, boss.
You think maybe I like it? Who's getting drafted?
It's a big job, boss. Couple hundred grand if we can pull it off. Whiskey's getting scarce.
You're telling me something I don't know.
How about maybe we pull off the job like we said? 7 o'clock tomorrow, and you show up late. Say you got held up.
How late? I got tickets to Mexico City and the 9 o'clock plane. A deal like this will be hot for months. You want me to walk into the army physical with every cop in town looking for me? You nuts!
What are you gonna do?
I don't know.
If you're in Mexico City, how are they gonna get you on a draft rap?
What's the matter with you? You think I'm yellow? I'm a good American boy. I want to come back to this good old United States when the heat's off.
Gee, I don't know, boss. The boys aren't gonna like it.
Here. This will make you feel better, lover baby lamb. It's nice and strong.
You're a good kid, Mel. As good as they come.
Give me a kiss, honey baby. Tell Swifty to get out of here and let you and me...
I tell you, kid, I'm gonna do it.
What? What are you going to do, boss?
I'm gonna take that physical. I'm gonna take it, and if I pass, which I won't, on account of my hernia, I'm gonna fight for Uncle Sam.
Honey, what am I gonna do?
Stick around and wait for me. I'll be back around 5 after they give me a 4F. Tell the boys the job's got to wait, Swifty. I got duty to do.
Well, to make a long story short, Ricky took his army physical and they accepted him. That's the way it might have happened anyway, as I read the letter. But I guess not really, because Ricky never got that letter. And he pulled the job with the boys the next morning. I remember reading about it. They tried to knock over a liquor warehouse and got caught. Being number one city public enemy, Ricky went to the jug, and he'll be out in 1965. Oh, I got a whole stack of letters I can tell you about. A Broken Promise ricochets into sizzling action on Gunsmoke Monday night on most of these CBS radio stations. Marshal Matt Dillon finds Dodge City's temporary peace and quiet disturbed by the blast of six shooters. Hear the whole Wild West tale Monday night on Gunsmoke. You'd be surprised at the kind of letters I have to read before I burn them. It's not all of them get under my skin, but a few. I never quite figure out how I get to be the people in the letter. But I guess it's like I said, I got a calling. Maybe I should go and be a fortune teller somewhere. I take the letter I read at lunch today. Address unknown, no return address. I could feel it. I knew what might have happened. I knew it.
My dear Linda, I somehow don't think that you will be surprised to hear from me. For the last 2 or 3 years, you have been constantly in my thoughts. Perhaps there is something to telepathic communication.
In any event, I am writing to you. That you will receive this in time for my arrival on Saturday. I am taking the plane from New York and will arrive at 1:30 your time. We made a mistake, my darling. We took each other for granted. I know now that my life has meant nothing to me since we left each other. I have run over half the world to escape memories, but they have gone with the wind. I can't run any longer. I love you. I want to think... I must believe that you still love me. I am egotist enough to ask that you meet me at the airport. Perhaps you're married. I don't know, but at least we can see each other, talk, and possibly give ourselves the chance that we once so foolishly lost. I love you, Stephen. Stephen, I never thought I'd get that feeling again. I haven't. Not really. It's just the shock of getting the letter. What's today? Friday. No, it's Saturday. Of course it is. It's Saturday.
Morning, darling. Anything in the mail?
Oh, no. A bill from Tucker's and Harriet's wedding announcement.
Oh, fine. Had your coffee?
Yes.
Your mother get off okay?
Yes.
That's fine. Throw me the paper, will you? Thanks.
That That's my husband, 4 years married husband. I wonder what he'd think if I showed him the letter. I suppose he'd laugh. He never knew Stephen. I don't remember ever telling him about it.
Ha! They won!
That's good, dear. Do you want some eggs?
No thanks. I'm starting my diet today. Old Ben boy's gonna take off a few pounds.
I think it's silly.
I get that rolled in the middle and you won't think it is. Bench me here. Right here. See? That's no muscle.
What are you going to do today?
Oh, I don't know. Might play golf with Charlie if it's okay with you.
I don't mind.
Okay. We got anything on tonight?
The Simpsons asked us over. They're having a few people in.
Okay.
What time will you be going to play golf?
Oh, about 1 or 2, I guess. Why, did you want to use the car?
Oh, I thought I might do some shopping uptown.
Oh, sure, sure. I can go with Charlie. He can pick me up.
I don't know if I'll go or not.
It's all right with me.
I might...
You get a letter?
Oh. Just an old friend. Nobody you know.
Oh, that's nice. Any orange juice, honey? Can't be too many calories in that.
I'll get you some.
He wouldn't even care. He doesn't really care. Not the way Stephen used to. It wouldn't have been like this with Stephen. I wonder if I've changed. He'd think I'm dull now. We used to have fun. I wonder what it would have been like to marry Stephen. I should have done. Because now, I'll never know and I'll always be a little in love with him? Stop it. You've got to get Ben's orange juice.
That.
Oh, I'm sorry. I beg your pardon.
Oh, don't mind me. I'm not feeling right this morning.
Your mother?
No.
Sure?
No, she was fine. Looking forward to the weekend. What's the time, Ben?
11.
Oh.
Got anything you want to do around the house?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I thought I'd fix up that old fishing reel. Needs cleaning. Got sand in it last time.
All right.
I'll see you.
Ben?
Yeah?
Are you happy with me about us?
Well, sure. Well, that's a funny question.
Do you take me for granted?
Sure I do. You're Lindy. We're married. I know it. You know it. That's it.
Oh.
You feel okay?
Yes, I'm all right.
I'll see you.
I should have waited. I should have made sure. It was too soon after you'd gone, Stephen. I was still in love with you when I met Ben. What do they call it? Bounce? No, rebound. I remember the place we went to. The favorite places, quiet, holding hands across the table. Not saying much, just looking, being happy. I can't run any longer. I love you. I want to think I must believe that you still love me. I shouldn't have married Ben. I was in love with you. I want to meet you today, and I can't. I'd be afraid of what would happen.
Lindy, you see that screwdriver kit?
It's in the kitchen drawer.
Oh. Hey, what's the matter?
Nothing.
You mad about something? Me playing golf today? Did you want to do something? Did we plan something and I forget?
No, really, nothing.
It's not our anniversary or something?
Don't be silly.
I tell you what, I don't mind skipping the golf. How about us driving over to the Wilsons, going swimming?
You go and play golf. I'm fine.
You wanted to see the Wilsons for a couple of weeks now. I'd like it.
I don't want to.
Well, you did last week.
Well, I don't this weekend.
Oh, okay. Lindy?
What?
You upset with me?
No. There's nothing. Just leave me alone for a while, Ben. I've got a headache.
Oh, you want me to get you an aspirin?
No, no. I don't want anything. Just leave me alone.
All right. You don't have to bite my head off.
Go away.
Thanks a lot. I will. Charlie's picking me up in 5 minutes. You can take the car if you... You're sure dressed up.
Why shouldn't I be?
No reason, I guess. What time do you think you'll be back?
I don't know.
Oh.
I can't tell you. I've made up my mind. I've got to meet Stephen, talk to him. I've got to know one way or the other. I don't want to waste my life. There's still time. If he asks me to go away with him today, maybe I will. You'll get along, Ben. You'll find a nice, dull girl, and she'll make you happy. I don't know what I want, but I can't make you happy. Not now. You can't make me happy. I'm still in love with another man.
You want to tell me?
What?
What's going on?
Nothing's going on.
I don't believe you. Was it something in that letter you got? Did that do it?
I'm going to be late, Ben. I'll talk to you later.
Late for what? You said you were going shopping.
Ben?
I want to know. If I've done something, I've got the right to know. You're not leaving here till you tell me.
I told you. You haven't done anything. You haven't done anything at all. Nothing. Ever.
What does that mean?
Give me the keys to the car, will you please?
No.
All right, I'll take a cab.
Put the phone down. We're going to talk. Come on. What?
If you stop me, Ben, I'll leave you. I mean it.
What are you talking about? Why? Why?
I can't tell you now, but I've got to go. Please, give me the key.
Have you gone crazy?
Will you let me use the phone?
No, I won't. This talk of leaving, the whole thing, you're going to tell me.
It's 10 after 1, Ben. I've been waiting 4 years for 1:30, and I'm not going to be late for it.
For what? What?
This. You won't understand, and I haven't got the time to explain now, but I've got to go.
It was the letter. Who's Stephen?
I was in love with him a month before I met you. I'd been in love with him for over a year.
You didn't tell me.
I thought it was finished. I wanted it to be.
You still love him?
I don't know. Yes, I think so.
What about us?
I don't know. Will you give me the keys?
You haven't been happy with me?
Yes, I guess so. I've tried to be.
Can I say something?
I'm going to be late.
But look, if you've waited for years and he has to, 5 minutes won't make any difference. He'll wait.
What's the use of talking now? I can't think.
Neither can I. But I've got the right to say a couple of things. I know I'm not like a lot of the guys you used to go out with. Kind of square, I guess. I thought you liked it. You married me, so I had a right to think that. I fell in love with you because you were everything I wanted in a woman. It was exciting. It's always been exciting ever since. Maybe in a lot of ways I've been afraid of you. Wondered how you picked a guy like me. A lot of the fellas kid me about it. You've heard them. How come an ugly mug like you gets a doll like Linda? Maybe I was afraid of something like this. That's why I don't say what I think a lot of the time. Keep you guessing. Irresistible male attraction. Strong, silent man. I love you. If you go out of here, and remember that, I love you. Now, go on. Go meet your boyfriend, and when you're through, come back and tell me where I stand. I'll be here.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've hurt you. You've been good to me. Perhaps it would have been different if I hadn't got the letter. I'm sorry.
Of course, Linda never got the letter, so maybe it worked out. I kind of hope they've moved out of town. Well, that's what I mean. You never can figure out whether it's a good thing or a bad thing the letters end up in my department. So I burn them. And this letter, for Ben, I burn.
I hope it's the end of Stephen.
How you doing, boy?
Hey, snap on him.
Huh? Oh, hi, Herb.
You've been reading them letters again? What gives with you? This job gives me the creeps. Come to think of it, you're starting to give me the creeps. Me for the open road. I'm putting in for a transfer today. You better get out of it, too. It's getting you down, boy.
You've been listening to American Radio Theater's presentation of a lost show from the days of old-time radio. This was Lovely Dead Letter from the series On Stage. It was written by Anthony Ellis, originally presented by Kathy and Elliot Lewis, and aired on September 2, 1954. ART's version was produced and directed by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Greg Porter as Manfred, Pat McNally as Herbert Rood, Dave Leese as Leonard, Liz Roach as Alma, Moki O'Reilly as Rick, Marge Lutton as Mill, Terry Elder as Swifty, Linda Rasmussen as Linda, Dan Schindler as Ben. Live sound effects by Dan Schindler and Greg Porter. Music by Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Recorded live at Pioneer Hall in Seattle. I'm Kim Turner, your announcer, who you also heard as Stephen and Alfie. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Gee, that's all I've got time for today. Have a stop by our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, and listen to some of our other shows. Hey, don't forget to set your calendars for our next marathon on RadioOutOfThePast.org. It's on August 15th. That's noon Eastern to midnight Eastern. Hey, see you then!
Okay, Joy. Thanks a lot and great work as usual. Well, folks, that is it. If you're hearing my voice for a second time, or sometimes maybe even a third time, that means we are done, and it is time for us to jump on our horses and ride off into the sunset, because it is now time to wrap things up and shut things down for this week's broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. But don't worry, I've said it dozens of times before, we will be back again next week with another fresh OTR surprise ready and waiting for your listening enjoyment. So, if you have any questions, comments, complaints, maybe even a request or two about tonight's program or future programs, please address them via email to mikeameli@earthlink.net. That's MIKEAMELI at sign EARTH. LINK.NET. We will soon be releasing the key and returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. But just remember, be nice to one another, because this time, there's a stern librarian standing right behind me, and she has a grimace that could peel the paint off the wall. On behalf of myself, and the rest of the MSS crew, have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye.